Okay, Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us, Lord. Thank you for just laughing. It's awesome to be able to come to church and laugh, and you know, it just not be super somber all the time. I love this class. I love these people, just the families that are just busy about your work. And Lord, I thank you so much for allowing me to be entrusted with the ministry of these souls. And so I pray that we as a class can press forward this year as we sow the book into our own lives first, and that we would just be serious about that, Lord. I just pray for the sickness that's going around, and I know several people have had it and have it, and we pray for just Lauren and Kate today and the rest of the Shipley boys, as I pray that they don't end up with it, and just pray for just all the it's just rough. So I pray that you just get them back on their feet. I pray for your word today, that you just bless it richly and just allow us to press forward and just apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray for Dwayne's family, Tanya, and I just pray that you just give her peace, Lord, and just allow your word to indwell in her and just help with that situation. And Lord, we do just praise you for just the awesome news of Dwayne's cancer report, and I pray that you just keep it away, and that we would just be able to praise you even in those things. And so thank you so much for that. I just thank you for just Amy's faithfulness throughout all that to just help carry the family and carry the load, as you know, they've been dealing with the different sickness. And so I just thank you for those things. I do praise you for the report from the Cohens this morning about his Uncle Joe, and just being able to somebody just being willing to provide. And so it reminds me of just a new life in you, Lord, when we feel like there's no hope left, and when all the answers have been no, Lord, you know, somebody steps in, and it's you, Lord. And so I just thank you for that. I pray that things go well with that, and I pray that it brings them to you. Lord, I pray for all the different things that we've talked about even this morning, and I pray for your word. I pray you bless it and get the glory for it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open back up to Acts chapter 11. We're going to jump back in. So most of you know I'm not an outline kind of guy. I'm pretty fly by the seat of my pants a lot of times. I usually get an outline for what I'm going to teach. I read it a lot of times through the week, and you know, but I usually don't get it all put down on paper. It's not that I don't read it and don't prepare till, but I usually don't get it all compiled until, I don't know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock Sunday morning. That's just works best for me. It allows me to be on my A game, and you know, it's just all right there. And you know, so anyway, that's usually how it rolls. But I've been a little bit. So here's the deal. I actually hate fill in the blanks. And here's why. Because inevitably somebody's like, oh, what was the blank? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know. And that's fine. I'll do it because it allows people to help follow along. But so anyway, I'm gonna try this year to, you know, maybe hit 50% of having an outline for you. It worked well this week because I didn't get through what I was teaching last week, so all I really had to do was put my notes on paper. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. I hope it helps. If it doesn't, throw it away, make a paper airplane, throw it at me. I don't care. But anyway, I just, if it helps somebody, praise the Lord. So anyway, like, here's what really convicted me. 2 weeks ago, I always have a title, and there's usually structure to it. I just don't communicate it well. And so after class a couple weeks ago, Delaney came up, and she's got this new journal, and she's like, it's got a place for a title and this, that, and the other. And she had all these notes of what I had done, and she came up, and she's like, so I have a question. And I'm like, okay. She's like, what goes here? And it was the space for the title. And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. Maybe I should have told you that. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, and that's not a knock on her. It's a knock on me. So anyway, I'm just trying. I'm trying. So that's all I'm saying. Okay. So Acts chapter 11, let's pick up where we were last week. We got to try to get through, this. We'll see. So anyway, this is the, right after Peter has went to Cornelius. I'm not going to reteach what we taught last week, but, let me see. Where are we at here? What was that? Oh, okay. That's fine. It's interesting. Okay, so your title from last week, we're going to carry it into this week. 3 ways Satan uses to kill a church, or something along those lines. So he just goes, he gets the gospel to the Gentiles, even though it was really countercultural for everything that was going on. You guys know where we're at. So anyway, pick it up in Acts chapter 11, verse 1. It says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. We don't know how they heard. You know, I don't really think they picked up their iPhone. So I don't know, but somehow word travels fast. I think we all would agree with that. Word travels fast. And it, before Peter even gets there, they have heard what's going on. In verse 2, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, meaning the Jews, contended with him. They weren't like, hey, how'd this go? Or, hey, praise the Lord, or anything else. You know, it was, they were contending, saying, thou wentest to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Right? They're not even concerned about these people getting saved. They're just concerned about the fact that you broke Jewish tradition. Right? And basically what that boils down to is you broke our religion. Right? And when, and I don't have this in my notes, but when your religion becomes more important to you than your relationship, you've totally missed the boat on what's going on here, right? When your religion becomes more than the relationship, you've missed it. And so anyway, we had three ways that he kills the church. The first one, I'm just going to read through the main points. Gossip, we talked through this last week, verses 1 and 2. You know, gossip, slander, word on the street, it's all the same thing. You know, somebody's talking about somebody without their knowledge, and, you know, they're spreading stuff that they don't really know. We looked at James chapter 3, you know, and what that looks like. And, man, the tongue is like a wildfire, is what we were talking about. And, you know, how are you supposed to stop a wildfire? Well, the only way is to try to get it while it's small. Right, because once it's going, it's almost impossible. So he hadn't even made it to Jerusalem, and the rumors were flowing. You know, did you hear what Peter did? He's eating with the Gentiles. He's telling them about our God. You know, it's blasphemy, and you know, it's funny, right? Except for it's not, because it's true, right? And you know, don't think for a second that it's out of the reach of the devil for it to happen here. Right? That was kind of the point I wanted to make. And so, you know, we talked about what do you do when something like this actually does happen in your life, and we looked at Matthew chapter 18, because, you know, Matthew chapter 18 gives us a biblical way to address when there's an actual offense. You know, when you hear about something that really has nothing to do with you, and you're like, wow, that's interesting, for the most part, just let it go. But if there's actually an offense in your life, you know, believe it or not, you don't have to tell somebody else just because you were told, right? But then you don't have to do that. But anyway, Matthew chapter 18, if there actually is an offense, there's a way to deal with it. You know, teaching point one, Matthew 18 is like fire stopping for gossip in the church, right? If the early church had remembered what Jesus had taught them in Matthew 18, right, the situation would have been different. You know, and then teaching point two, this is kind of where we ended last week. Someone who allows someone to gossip to them is equally as in sin as the person gossiping. When somebody comes and they're like, hey, did you hear? And then they start going and you realize, like, you're able to identify, this has nothing to do with me. This really has nothing to do with them. And really, this is just gossip. If you don't just stop it in its tracks, you're equally as in sin as them by just letting it go. And remember, I warned you, because in the church we like to have holy gossip. We call it, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? We should pray for them, right? And so gossip is gossip, right? And just let it go. Anyway, I don't want to get too off in the weeds with that. So anyway, the second one gets to something new. The second way that Satan uses to kill a church is legalism. Verses 3 and 4, this is what they said. They said, thou went in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, and then basically from verse 5 all the way down to verse 16 or 17, he rehearses the entire thing. Hey, I was in Joppa, I was up on the roof, I was hungry, and the next thing I know, I've got this vision from God, and there's like this sheet, it's got bacon on it, and this, that, and the other. Anyway, I'm just in my own words. But anyway, this the whole thing. And he's like, God said, you know, basically, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. And so then I went because, you know, God said so. And then he expounds the whole thing to him. He just lays it out from the beginning. He's got to be thinking, man, just why couldn't I just have come and told you this anyway? But instead, it's me trying to defend myself. And he expounds the entire thing. But, you know, the second way that the devil will use to kill a church is legalism. You know, legalism breeds contention in the church. Legalism, it like breeds, it like festers contention, right? And it's the same way. Contention, it breeds legalism, and they just kind of go hand in hand. And so, you know, I think for the most part we understand what legalism is, but I want to make sure, you know, if somebody was to ask you, what is legalism? You know, a lot of us might have the gist of what it is, but, you know, for the most part, it's any standard that a person or a church has that is not fully supported in the Bible. That's called legalism. Right? In any standard that a person or a church has that is not fully supported by Scripture. Now, I'm not saying, oh, I read it this one place over here and it kind of related to it. But I don't read about it anywhere else, you know, but I'm going to take it for doctrine. You know, any standard that a person or a church has that is not fully supported in the Bible, that's what we would call legalism, right? You know, it's like all churches where it says that, oh, a woman has to wear a denim skirt and it's got to be X amount of inches long and, you know, this, that, and the other. That's legalism. Right? And I'm not saying that it's bad for a lady to wear a skirt if she wants to. Praise the Lord if she does, and praise the Lord if she doesn't. Right? The only request I would have is don't let it be too short, right? You know, modesty's a thing, but, you know, well, that's a completely different teaching for a different day, and it is what it is. But, you know, and again, I'm not as a man here to tell you what you can and can't wear anyway. You know, the Bible allows those things. But anyway, legalism is like saying, oh, women, they need to wear a dress, right? Or men, they have to wear a tie when they come to church, right? Or, you know, it says that when we sing praise to the Lord, we can only sing hymns. And, you know, by God, we cannot have drums on the stage, right? You know, those are legalistic types of things, right? And again, at the same time, there's nothing saying that if we don't have drums, then we're unholy on the other way, right? It's just a personal preference type of thing. It's like, you know, legalism is saying, oh, you can only eat these things, but you can't eat those things. Or you can only drink these things, but you can't drink those things. And, you know, this, that, and the other. Those are all legalistic things. Paul dedicates the entire chapter, pretty much, of Romans chapter 14 to the topic of legalism in the church. Right? Nearly the entire chapter. The entire chapter can be summarized in what I put for teaching point number 3. This is the way that I would summarize the entire chapter of Romans chapter 13. 14, I'm sorry. Don't try to push your personal convictions onto someone else's doctrine. And don't use your liberty so freely that it causes other brothers to stumble. And you have an outline, all you're doing is filling in some blanks. But don't try to push your personal convictions onto someone else's doctrine, and don't use your liberty so freely that it causes other believers to stumble. You have to find the middle ground. He says that we have liberty to do whatever we really need to do or desire to do. But if your liberty is going to cause someone else to stumble, well, by all means, don't do it with them at least, right? Don't do it in their company at least, you know? And at the same time, if you have a personal conviction that, oh, there's no way that I should be involved in that. There's no way that I should eat that, that I should drink that, that I should do that. Okay, that's fine if that's your personal conviction. But unless you can show me in multiple places in the Bible that it says this, that, or the other, don't try to push your conviction as doctrine. Like, your conviction is fine for your life. But just because you're convicted of it doesn't mean that the Bible preaches it. Right? And that's what Paul is trying. He's trying to walk that line in Romans 14 to, you know, basically like, hey, I understand we should all follow the convictions that God gives us in our life. But at the same time, if it's not explicitly stated that you can't do this, right? Then don't try to tell everybody else, well, they can't either. Right? If you feel convicted to wear a tie to church on Sunday, by all means, do it. I think you look good in a tie. But at the same time, don't tell me that I have to. Right? I'm so much against it, and it's not that I'm against wearing a tie. And most of you, you've probably noticed. Like, I try to push the limits just because I don't want people to become legalistic. Right? When I get an opportunity to preach, I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear jeans. Because, you know what? It doesn't really change the fact of the Word of God. You know, and by all means, I wouldn't do anything that offended Brian because it is his pulpit. But anyway, the point is, I want people to understand that we have liberty in Christ. You know, and by all means, I'm never going to go and preach in another man's pulpit. You know, if I understand that with the church that I'm going to is, you know, hey, they're a dress-up kind of place, by all means, I'll be there in a tie. That's all good. I get it. Right? I'm not there to offend their conscience so much that they're never going to hear the Word of God because they're so worried about what I'm wearing. Right? And at the same time, that's just it. Don't use your liberty so freely because, yeah, by all means, you had liberty. But don't use it so freely that you've caused other brothers to stumble. Right? And there's so much that can be said there. I taught through Romans, I don't know, it's been a couple years ago now, but go back and get all that. But, you know, Romans 14, it's really key to the way that we walk that line in the church. Right? And it's not really a balanced thing. It's not really, you know, you gotta do the right things in the right time. No, it's just, what are your convictions? Know what they are, and know how to stand for them. And at the same time, don't be so freely, you know, well, I'm not convicted about it, that, you know, you cause a brother to stumble that, you know, has just come out of, you know, something where, you know, it was a sin to them. And so anyway, just understand how to do that. Peter hadn't even had the opportunity to tell what God had done with the Gentiles. And the legalistic accusations were flying, right? You were in a Gentile's house, right? The uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, yeah, that's how they all are, actually. You were eating with them? It's blasphemy. You know, that's what these guys were thinking. You know, we thought you were our leader, Peter, but now, out. That's what they're ready to do. They're ready to oust this guy. Again, it's funny until it happens here. It's funny until something like that happens right in here. We have to make sure our gospel is not cloaked in legalism, because Jesus broke the chains of legalism. Make sure you understand that. Make sure that the gospel that you're taking to work, to school, to wherever you're going, that it's not cloaked in legalism. That it's not cloaked in, yeah, you should come to church and you should get saved, but just know that when you do, you're going to have to change some, man. You don't look right. You don't act right. Praise the Lord. The Jesus who saved me, the only Jesus that there is, He met me where I was at. And He gave me all the time in the world to figure things out and to grow in Him, right? I didn't have to worry about, you know, oh my gosh, I got to clean up before I show up. It wasn't like that, right? And praise the Lord that HBF's not like that. You know, you can come rolling in the doors and I really don't care what you're wearing, right? I don't really care where you were last night. A lot of times I could tell you where you were last night because I could smell it. But praise the Lord you're here, right? And we'll let the gospel take care of those things. But, you know, don't allow your gospel to be cloaked in legalism, right? That's kind of the whole point here. And because that's what was happening. You know, instead of seeing what God was trying to do, the bigger picture of what God was doing in the world, they were so caught up in their religion. One more thing to note on legalism and liberty, right? The kind of the act between. Some confuse Galatians chapter 2 with this story in Acts. And we'll go there real quick because I want to make sure that I hit this. The event that Paul's referencing in Galatians 2, it happens sometime after the Jerusalem Council that we see in Acts chapter 15. Flip over to Galatians chapter 2 really quick, because I've heard people confuse this, and you may be like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, and that's okay. You can just put it in your back pocket for a rainy day. But in Galatians chapter 2, some people are like, oh, no, this is the same thing that we're talking about here in Acts, and it's definitely not. In Galatians chapter 2, this would be much later, because Paul is now already been on his, you know, missionary journeys. That's one of the ways that we know what's going on here. But, you know, he's already out. He's writing this letter to the church at Galatia. But I think it's in, let's see, verse 11. Galatians 2, chapter, verse 11. It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Now, you read that and, like, those are some harsh words. Like, I withstood him to the face? What does that mean? I mean, I can picture what that might mean, but, you know, it says, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And you might be like, well, no, that's what he just did. It's different deal here. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, meaning fearing the Jews. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, meaning there were people that were with him, and then they left too. And again, people are like, well, no, that's what happened in chapter 10 of Acts. No, it's a different situation, and I'll explain why in a minute. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before them all, like he didn't take him aside, he called him out, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live after the Jews? Right? And so basically, here's what happened. This was sometime later, and Peter had come to Antioch. This would be after Acts chapter 15. We'll get there in months from now. There's a council in Acts chapter 15 that basically they call it the Jerusalem Council. And it's basically when the rest of the Jews start to realize that I guess the gospel really is going to the Gentiles. And if that's the case, we need to put some ground rules on this thing. Because, you know, if we can't control it, then we wouldn't be good holy Jews. So they're trying their best to control it. And they basically give them some ground rules that, you know, if we're going to do this, that's fine. But, you know, there's some things that we can't allow those Gentiles to do. You know, they can't eat blood. They can't have fornication in their life. I can't remember all of them right off the top of my head. But there's a few things that they're just like, fine, we'll accept the Gentiles as long as they keep these things completely out of their life, right? And it's like, okay, well, those are pretty unholy things anyway, so we'll take it. So anyway, after that, this happens. Peter ends up in Antioch, and, you know, he feels free to go and eat with the Gentiles because, well, he was the first one that got to anyway, and he goes and he does it, and he's eating with the Gentiles. But what Paul is doing is he says, but when people showed up, when James and some other people showed up, all of a sudden he was like, oh yeah, we probably shouldn't be here. And he like separates himself, right? And the other guys that are with him were like, well, if Peter's not going to do this, then he leaves. And, you know, then it's just like this awkward situation of, well, because these guys are here, you guys aren't going to do this anymore. And, you know, it was this, and that's what Paul was like, hey, I don't care what you do. Paul's actually the author of liberty in the Bible. But what he's saying is, don't ride both sides of the fence. What he's saying is, if you're a Jew, that's what he says. I flipped away from the page, but he basically says, hey, if you're a Jew and you're trying to tell the Gentiles that they don't have to live like the Jews, that they can actually just live their own life with Christ, because that's the gospel to the Gentiles, you don't have to be Jewish to get saved, then why are you on the other side of the boat saying, I need to live like the Gentiles as a Jew, right? It's just like, you can just be who you are. You don't have to try to play both sides of the fence depending on who you're around. And he's like, your convictions are what they are. And that's what Paul, he calls him out on it. But anyway, it may not mean anything to anybody, but I didn't want somebody to get confused, because that's kind of a thing that happens. What's going on in Galatians 2, it's not actually talking about Genesis or Acts chapter 10. So anyway, just the legalism liberty thing. Paul is calling Peter out for riding both sides of the fence, right? The legalism liberty fence in Galatians 2, but after the events of Acts chapter 11. In Acts 11, Peter actually does a good job. He defends the legalism with God's words, as he should. He was like, no, here's what happened. And he expounds the whole thing to him, which is the opposite of what he did in Galatians, where as soon as some guys showed up that he, you know, was really respecting, he like withdrew himself. Instead of just defending, hey, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, he felt like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this around these people. And so then he bails. And so he actually did the right thing in Acts. But, you know, when you compare the two. So what does that have to do with us? Because, you know, I know that sometimes that kind of gets us off track. And we're like, okay, I understand. That's a good Bible teaching point. But what does that have to do with me? Well, here. Know where and why you stand on your convictions. That's what it has to do with you. Know where and why you stand on your convictions. Whatever they are. Whether it be what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, what you listen to, right? What your spouse eats, drinks, wears, listens to, right? Just in general, your family, the way that you raise your kids and different things. Know what your convictions are and know why you stand on them. Like, that's all that the Bible's trying to say. Just know where you stand. You know, none of it's bad, right? As long as it's not sin, right? Just know where you stand. Teaching point four. Your convictions on a subject or issue should not change with who's around, by the way. Your convictions on a subject or issue should not change with who is around. If you feel like your convictions are set in a certain way, well, it shouldn't matter who walks in the door. It shouldn't change. Like, it's your convictions. Because if it's a sin issue, like if it's like, well, I really probably shouldn't be doing this, well, then that's a completely different issue completely, right? If there's an issue that's like, hey, the Bible says you shouldn't do that, well, then by all means, that's not a conviction. That's a sin, right? And so anyway, just throwing that out there. I don't think, there's nobody in mind when I say these things. I'm just throwing it out there. So, because that's what Peter did. When James comes walking in with, you know, with the leadership of the church, he all of a sudden starts thinking he can't do that. So that's what got Peter in trouble in Galatians chapter 2. Okay, so that's the second thing, the second way that, you know, the devil uses to divide a church is, you know, he uses legalism. You start to think that you have to do certain things because of, well, that's what the church says I have to do. And, you know, that's what they were like. You can't go to these people. You can't eat with these people. I can't believe you did this. Right. You're completely ruining Judaism. So we're just going to throw you out because of it. That's where they were going with this thing. Well, the same thing happens. That's what divides churches. That's what church splits are after. Right. It's not always because the pastor slept with somebody he shouldn't have or he stole money from the church. A lot of times that's what happens. But it's not always like that. A lot of times a church split is just because somebody says, oh, you can't do that. And you're like, well, where does it say I can't do that? Well, it refers to that over here, but it really doesn't anywhere else. And there's other places that I would say it actually refers the opposite to that. But you know, we don't do that around here. And then you kind of get two camps that are against each other. And it's like, wait a minute. And the next thing you know, there's a division, right? And then we end up in 1 Corinthians, right? The entire book where there's no unity. It's all schism, right? And Paul's like, man, one of these days I'd love to be able to give you the meat of the gospel, but I guess I'll keep feeding you with a bottle because, man, you guys are like babies, right? And everything that you do. And so God forbid that BS. We don't want legalism in the church, right? Know where you stand on your convictions and move forward. And then the last way, and again, I mentioned this last week, but I want to make sure you know, the last way that Satan uses to divide a church, there are hundreds. of ways that he does it. These are just the three that popped up in this chapter, by the way. I promise that you might not, whatever's going in, he does it in a lot of ways. These are just the three that pop up here. So anyway, fast forward to the last way that he does is false identity. Number three. So fast forward. They accused him of doing this. They're like, hey, you went in to men uncircumcised and you ate with them. And he rehearsed the entire matter from the beginning in order through the entire thing. And I don't have time to read it all. We'll run out of time. But he fast forward all the way down to verse 17. So he just gets done laying the whole thing out. And if you don't believe me, go back to Acts chapter 10, because the entire story was written twice in Acts chapter 10. And it matches the story that he recounts in Acts chapter 11. So if you're looking for some repetition, that's what happens. And then you get in verse 17. He says, for as much. He just lays out everything that he had just done. Why he went. Right? He said, then verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then, as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means that they got saved the same way that we did. And because I was there and I saw with my own two eyes that God saved them the same way that he did us, he used the same sign gift. They were speaking in tongues. Remember, sign gifts were there for a reason, because nobody would have believed it at the time unless God did some sort of miraculous sign, right? He says, I saw them get saved. And then he says, what was I that I could withstand God? When he heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then if God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Well, I guess if that's what really happened, Peter. And remember, back in chapter 10, it was really wise that Peter took some guys with him. Really, really wise that he took some guys with him. Because if he wouldn't have, they wouldn't have been so keen on, that's my story, I'm sticking to it. They'd have been like, no, that's not how that. But there were witnesses that went, and they were like, yeah, we saw it too. These people were speaking in tongues the same way that was going on with us back in the beginning of the book of Acts. Like, we don't understand it, but like, so they were like, okay, if that's the case, that's the case. But there's something that I read in there, in verse 17, that like catches my eye. And it says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the same way that we got saved, here's what he says. He says, what was I? He said, what was I that I could withstand God? Notice that he says, what was I and not who was I? He could have just been like, well, who was I that I could have stood in the way? You know, I mean, I understand that I'm supposed to be kind of the leader of the Jews and whatnot, but you notice he says what? And there's a key to that, because what he's trying to say to them is, I understand the Jewish religion just as much as you guys do. That's what he's saying. I understand the rules of what we can and can't do probably better than the rest of you guys. You know, and Paul expounds on that later when he's like, man, I was a Jew of Jew. I was a Gent. I mean, I was all those things, you know. But he says, what was I? Because I was a Jew, I was just supposed to withstand God? Because I have this label of a Jew that now all of a sudden the work of God doesn't apply to my life unless it fits into my boundaries of what that means? You know, and there's a lot to that, because he could have just said, well, who was I? And they would have been like, well, you know, you were Peter. But when he says, who was I? He basically puts them in the same position that he was. You could have been there too. Who were you? Was your Judaism going to keep them from getting saved? Because mine wasn't. You know, that's what he was saying. It really had nothing to do with him. He said, I couldn't withstand it. God was doing something here. Just because we're Jews, and that's the way it's always been until now, have you guys not noticed the last several months? God's doing some things. Like, just look around. You know, what's going on with, you know, Stephen just got stoned and all these different things. And, you know, we don't even understand how this is going anymore. But he says, what was I that I was going to withstand that? You know, you might be like, okay, that's cool, but what does that have to do with me? Well, I'll tell you, because this is probably, of everything that I've taught through this chapter, and I think this is, a lot of this is really key, you know, the gossip thing and the legalism thing, but this one hits the closest to home. Our culture is full of identity labels. Like, full of it. And I'm not talking about not knowing which bathroom to go into, right? Because that's not really an identity label. That's, I don't even know what to call that. Our culture is full of, I check the box of this, right? And so because I check the box of this, I am told that I should believe these things. Right? But we have these identity labels that we're black or we're white. And so because I'm black, I have to believe certain things on certain subjects. I can't just look at the issue at hand and say, well, my personal convictions say on this issue that this is how I feel. But instead, it's like, well, because I'm black, I have to feel this way. Even though the situation is kind of weird, but no, I have to feel it. Or because I'm white, I have to feel this way. Or because I'm a Democrat, I have to feel this way. Or because I'm a Republican, you know, I can't just look at things through the lens of the Bible and what I believe and say, well, in this situation, this is how I feel like, at least in my life and my family, this is the way we should feel about this. But instead, we're like, well, because I'm a donkey or I'm an elephant, that I have to feel this way and I have to do this. And, you know, praise the Lord that, you know, I'll just stick with, you know, the lamb or the lion, and I'll just stick with that. Because when it gets to politics, it's just all really stupid. And I don't say that politicians are stupid. I think the people who follow them are, right? I think the people who get so far behind, well, we have to feel this way. No, you don't. Absolutely not. On a certain, because I'm a liberal, I have to feel this. Because I'm a conservative, I have to feel this way on this issue. And I really don't have a say in it because I have to stay with my camp. And if my camp isn't like, no, because I'm a Christian, I have to feel this way. Because I'm an atheist, I have to feel this way. No, our society is so full of these labels that, like, we can't think for ourselves anymore. We're just told how to think. We say, okay, what are you? Okay, well, I'm a white Midwesterner, you know, so I'm a conservative on most things. So, okay, that's the box you fall into. I'm talking about myself. And so these are the ways that you have to think on these subjects. You really don't get a say in it, right? This is what you're supposed to believe. You can't look at a situation and say, no, this is what the Bible says about this. No, this is what you're supposed to believe. Right? And the same thing on anybody else. And because of that, we live in a country that is ridiculously divided over the stupidest things. And I'm appalled by it. Like, I got completely away from social media for years because it just, like, I just couldn't do it anymore. And recently, I need to try to be more relatable, right? I just do. I'm like, I need to try to, there's like people like, oh, I tried to get you on Facebook, and I'm like, whatever. Like, okay, fine. So I need to try to, because there's people that, like, I want to meet people where they're at. And so I'm like, and I'm telling you, like, 2 months, and I'm like, I remember why I can't do this anymore. It just absolutely makes me sick.
Fantasy football for me.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yes. It's terrible. So, teaching point five, and we're about done. When we feel like we're required to feel or act a certain way, fully based on our identity label, we've fallen into the trap of the devil. When you feel like you're required to feel a certain way, fully based on the identity label that the world has given you, like, you've fallen into the trap of the devil. Just think about the events over the past month or so, right? And by all means, there'll be more, right? There's always more. But just hot topic things, right? The whole thing going into Venezuela, right? And doing that thing. Well, we're told that, well, because you stand on this side of the aisle, this is how you should believe that, right? And it has nothing to do with, like, people that were or were not freed from it and this, that, or the other. We're just told that, no, you have to believe this way because, well, we're against that, okay? Or, like, the immigration control shooting thing, right? We're told that, like, we can't just look at the situation and say, well, this is what happened, and, you know, these were the events. We're just like, no, I have to believe this way because if I don't believe this way, then I don't stand with who I am. Well, no, who are you? You're not a Democrat or Republican. You're not white or black. You're not, you know, no, you're Christian, right? And you can just follow the convictions that God has given you. You know, the whole Somalian daycare fraud thing. You know, we're told that, like, hey, you can't support that, right? You can't be mad that they've gotten rid of all this corruption, because if you do, then you're supporting the other side. It's okay to stand in a camp and say what the other side did was actually good this time, right? It's okay to have that. Like, there's actually times in the Bible that, like, that happens when David was like, it's okay, you know, I know that we're kind of warring against Saul here, but I'm going to allow God to do good through him anyway. You know, and so don't allow what the world tells you you are to define what you think on something. Because when you do, you're no better than the people that are just out there acting a fool. Right? You're just acting a fool in your heart instead. Instead of going out and publicly doing, you're just doing it in your heart. Now, you know, tell us, think about how your identity labels tell you you're supposed to feel about these things. Right? All of these labels, they're a lie from the devil himself. And until we can identify as in Christ and nothing more or nothing less, we're going to continue to feed the lies instead of calm them. Right? And again, I'm about as little as political as you're going to get on things. But man, people are fools because they're so blinded by what the devil is doing. And they're just falling into a trap of it. And we're like, well, we don't like that guy, so everything that that guy is associated with, we're not going to do. Well, that's interesting, because there's some things that that guy does that I think are biblical. There's other things that he does that I'm like, he's a fool. That's okay. You can think both things. Don't tell the world that, because, man, they're going to... But I'm just telling you, don't get so caught up, because that's what was happening here. Peter was like, what was I? Was my Judaism supposed to stop these guys from getting saved? They're speaking in tongues, and I was supposed to be like, nope, sorry, God, not this time. Not with these guys. Go find some Jews to save. No, like, that's what he's like. Who was I to do that? And the same thing, like, who are we? What label do you have that puts you above God? Because if you have one, I need to hear it. But there's not one. The only thing that is it puts you right in the spot that Lucifer was, where he was like, you know, I could just be better than him. Right? He says, I'll do this and I'll do that. And basically what he says is, I'll be my own God. And that's what the world is wanting to do. They've decided that, you know what I'll do? I'll just be my own God. I don't really care what the rest of them think. I don't really care what the rest of them do. I'll just be my own God. Like it or not. And then, you know, they just act a fool because of it. Don't allow this to happen in our life. Especially, you know, at HBF, especially in the Passpoint class. Like, I get it. Like, we're from a lot of different areas of life. Praise the Lord. I don't want everybody to think the same. Except for in Christ. What does God tell you to feel about that? Right, it's okay to see that something happened and be like, man, that is a tragedy. It didn't have to happen that way, you know. And it doesn't have to be somebody's fault, except for the devil, right? We're sitting here pointing fingers at each other, like, can you believe that this happened and it's his fault? And can you believe this happened? It's his fault. No, I'll tell you, yes, I can believe it happened, because you guys are just following what the devil wants you to do, and he's just sitting back laughing. And here we are, you know, pointing the finger at everybody. At some point, we just got to say, enough is enough. I'm going to be in Christ. Right? That's the label I'm going to have. So, anyway, I hope that relates to somebody or something that somebody's going through, because, like, there's something there. And I think God needed us to hear that. He needed me to hear that. So, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. I pray that you just bless your word, in our lives. I pray that we don't find ourselves following after what the world says we need to be, but we just follow what you need us to be, Lord. That we know what our convictions are, we stand for them, right? And that we would just be more like you every day. I pray you be with Pastor Brian as he preaches to us today, as he gets back into the book of Titus. I pray for all the different things that are going on with the different ministry things that are coming up, with the Albanian Bible Project and the ladies' conference that's getting ready to happen, and, you know, the marriage conference is coming up, and we're busy about things, Lord, but, and all of these things bring people to you. And so I pray that we don't miss the boat on inviting people, on getting them involved and allowing them to have opportunity to be in Christ like we are. Because, man, if there's a label that we need, it's that one. So, Lord, I pray you just bless everything that we're doing. In Christ's name, amen.